Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, and we wish to take as our text this evening verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. The public profession that was made by this woman with the issue of blood. We come to a communion season, and for many of us it's been quite some time since we've been able to enjoy coming to such a season as this. When we come to the Saturday night of a communion, I always like to, if at all possible, encourage the Lord's people as they contemplate making that public profession before the eyes of the world, before the eyes of all. And I want to do that in that encouragement this evening to the Lord's people as we contemplate the Lord's day. How important this account was for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to say, what was more important, Jairus' daughter or the public profession of this woman, you would probably say the same as the disciples said. Jairus' daughter, she's dying, she's at the point of death. That is more important, surely, than this woman making a public profession of what had taken place in her life. But that's your thoughts and my thoughts are not the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't mean to say that he didn't think about this, the daughter. Of course he did. And as we will go on to see, the account of Jairus' daughter and the account of the woman with the issue of blood are intertwined in many ways. They are intertwined. But at this particular point, what was more important to the Lord Jesus Christ, even more important than making his way down to the house of Jairus, was that this woman would make a public profession. Let us never underplay our sitting at the Lord's table. Let us never think that sitting at the Lord's table is a mere formal thing. My friend, the Lord's people, to sit at the Lord's table is very important. It's serious, it's very essential, it is highly interesting as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. He stopped at this point for this woman, that she would make her public profession. Now, there are three points that we want to look at this evening as the Lord will enable us. First of all, she could not be hid. That's stated at the beginning of our text. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she could not be hid. Secondly, we see she came trembling and falling down before him. She could not be hid. She came trembling. And the third thing is, she made a public declaration. She declared unto him before all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been healed. So we want to look at these three things this evening. She could not be hid. She came trembling, and she made a public declaration. First of all, she could not be hid. This woman couldn't be hid. This woman couldn't be hid even before she came. Her condition could not be hid. Her whole life was dominated for 12 years by this one overriding condition that was hers. She may have been able to hide it in some respects from others. Some people would maybe know more of it than others would. But so far as she was concerned, it would not and could not be hidden from herself. Her whole life was consumed, if you like, with this one problem that she had, the issue of blood that was hers. And that was for 12 years. And my friend, when the Lord begins to deal with a sinner, very often the sinner comes to have their life's consumed by the fact that they are sinners. That they have not just got this disease of COVID or whatever, but when the Lord begins to deal with a sinner, that sinner can come under conviction of sin. I remember a man in Skye, and he came under conviction of sin, and you knew it. Whenever he came to the church, he was under the most severe trials and conviction of sin. It was a malady just like this woman. Now the question is, do you need to be 12 years under conviction of sin in order for the Lord to deal with you? This woman was 12 years. Does it mean to say that you've got to be miserable for 12 years before you will get a blessing from the Lord? And the answer is no. Because this is where the account of Jairus and the account of this woman are intermingled, intertwined. Why was this woman 12 years suffering from this malady? Why not 3 years? Why not 5 years? Why not 6 years? Why 12 years? I think it's for this reason. Jairus' daughter was 12 years of age. 12 years, Jairus' daughter, that was her age. And for the same number of years, this woman suffered from this malady. And that tells you that you can have 12 years of misery, and only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with you. But you may have 12 years of joy. You imagine Jairus' daughter. I picture this 12-year-old daughter. For 12 years, she was a great source of joy. She was a source of joy to her parents. She was a source of joy to Jairus himself. She was in the young life that she lived. Up to 12 years of old, what problems did she have? But my friend, she needed Jesus Christ just as much. At the end of the day, you might have 12 years of misery, or you might have 12 years of joy, but at the end of the day, both needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them did. This woman was brought for 12 years into a state of misery, and she couldn't hide it. She couldn't hide that. She tried every single remedy you could think of. My friend, is it not the case that you've heard of so many who are brought under conviction of sin, and they try this, and they try that, and they try another thing? You might try a wee bit more religion. You might try a wee bit more prayers. You might try to be a wee bit better. You might try to emulate other men that you've seen that have been godly men, so you become a wee bit more religious. And my friend, it all fails. It all fails. This woman tried it all. Physician after physician trying to find some remedy for this malady, and she could never find one. And my friend, the sinner, brought under conviction of sin, can try this remedy, that remedy, whatever remedy, and they all fail. Time and time again, it has been proven by God's people that when they're brought under conviction of sin, They'll try this, they'll try that, they'll try the other, until eventually they realise there's nothing that they can do but come to Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you don't need to be 12 years under conviction of sin. You don't need to be 12 months under conviction of sin, but you do need conviction of sin sufficient to know that you need a Saviour. And that without a Saviour, there is nothing but misery. You're lost. Well, this woman came to realise that she needed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she came, and she but touched the hem of his garment, do you think, my friend, that she could have ever, even if the Lord Jesus hadn't stopped, do you think that she could have ever went on and people wouldn't have realised that she that there was something changed about her? Do you think that she could have gone on and people wouldn't have known, or that she would have somehow gone on and that nobody would have noticed? Of course they would have. This was such a radical change, a radical cure in her life. It would have manifested itself some way. Before, she's chasing after doctors and physicians. Now she's cured. That would have been seen. And my friend, the day you come to Jesus Christ, the day a sinner comes, it's such a radical change that it's not just a change of direction. It is a new nature altogether. It's a new birth. And my friend, if a person is born again, do you not think that that will manifest itself some way? Of course it will. Of course it will. I remember, I've mentioned this before, I remember being in Sutherland, when I was up in Sutherland, and there was an old lady came. They were from Lewis, and this mother came from over from Lewis, and she came in, and she was in the house, and she was sitting in the corner where a fellowship, a sort of fellowship in the house this evening. There she was in the corner. She never professed the name of the Lord. I don't know if she ever did, but my friend, you knew that she was a Christian. You knew that. She was wrong in not professing the name of the Lord, but you knew it in her company. And it's sad when someone is like that, that you can tell them. Maybe they don't tell it, maybe they don't recognize it, but others there, you can tell this is a godly woman. My friend, it doesn't matter if the Lord has blessed you, then that will be registered. That won't be hidden. That can't be hidden. There's a change that takes place, a radical change that takes place in the soul. You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have new standards. You have new. No longer is it the things of the world that is your standard. No longer is it the things of the world that you chase after. Now, you love the Lord Jesus. He's blessed you. Your faith in him. This woman came. She touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately cured. And she knew it. But she thought she could hide it. She thought she could hide it from the Lord. We'll come back to that in a minute. She thought she could hide it from the Lord. But the Lord stops her. Who touched my garment? Even the disciples are saying, well, there's a multitude here, of course. But he knew that virtue, power had gone from him to cure someone. And we think that is wonderful. That is wonderful. The Lord knew this woman had touched his garment, but you know what is equally as marvellous? Is that when Jesus spoke, the woman knew he was speaking to her. There was a multitude there. Who touched my garment? She knew that the Lord was speaking to her. in amongst the multitude. My friend, have you ever been there? And before you've maybe been under the sound of the gospel. Many of us have been there. We were raised up under the sound of the gospel. We heard it all, but the Lord was never speaking to us. At least we weren't hearing him. But the day comes when you're under the sound of the gospel and the Lord is speaking to you. Whoever else he's speaking to, the Lord is now speaking to me. And my ears are open and I'm listening to what the Lord has to say. That woman, it's wonderful that the Lord knew that someone had touched his garment, but when the Lord turned and spoke, it is also wonderful she knew that he was talking about her. And that brings the second thing. She came trembling before the Lord. She came trembling. And perhaps she had every reason to tremble. Perhaps as you go to the Lord's table tomorrow, you tremble. How we should tremble. We're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should tremble. And she trembled. She came trembling and fell down before him. She was trembling. Why was she trembling? Well, if you think about it, here, first of all, it's a woman that has come in and touched the hem of his garment. Now, you might not think of that today. But here is a woman coming and touching this holy man. The hem around the garment was worn, signifying a holy man. The Pharisees used to make them big to make themselves big. But here this woman comes and touches his garment. Who is she to take such a privilege to herself? Now, let's go back to Jairus. You can understand how Jairus can come before the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes head on. He comes in and speaks, bows before the Lord, and puts his case before the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is a leader of the synagogue. He himself is an important man. He himself is a man who was himself named a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. But what is this woman in comparison to Jairus? She's insignificant. We don't even know her name. We know Jairus' name, but we don't know her name. Just a woman. Maybe, friend, maybe you think today, when you go to the Lord's table, who are you? Who are you going to the Lord's table? Who do you think you are? You're not some great, big, important religious man of the day. You're not some great, important religious person that people know who you are. You're just like this woman that came in behind and touched his garment. How dare she come in and touch this man's garment? Who is she? She's nothing. My friend, the Lord welcomed this woman. He actually stopped so that this woman would know that she was blessed. This woman came and touched the hem of his garment. And think about even her condition. You know, we're told that in Christ there is neither male nor female, bond nor free. We are all one in Christ. We're being shown that here. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's this woman, whether it's a Jairus, whether it's a ruler of the synagogue, or whether it's some unknown woman, Jesus welcomed them. But think of the condition of this woman. She was a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. She wasn't like a 12-year-old girl lying, dying at home, Jairus' daughter. You could almost say a young girl that was innocent. You know what I mean when I say that? Nobody's innocent. But a young 12-year-old girl, I suppose here's a woman that is with an issue of blood. Is she going to stand and pronounce and let people know that this is her condition? My friend, you perhaps think going to the Lord's table tomorrow. What's your condition? What's your condition? Are you a hell-deserving sinner? Are you someone that's a sinner? You look back in your own. I look back in my own past. And who am I to go to the Lord's table? Who am I to sit at God's table? Who am I? Who are you to sit at God's table? When you think of what you have been in the past, what you've done in the past, what you are. She came trembling because she was a woman that had an issue of blood. What a shame. But the Lord stopped and made it plain that she was welcome. And what could this woman give to the Lord Jesus Christ? What could she give? You could understand Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. What influence that this would have. What influence there could be if Jairus were to be blessed. My friend, is that not what we think? If only the Lord would bless some well-known person in our nation, what a wonderful thing that would be. Well, it would be, but my friend, the Lord stopped before this woman. What could she give the Lord Jesus? She didn't have any money. We've already been told that she spent everything that she had on false cures. She didn't have money. She had no wealth. She had no influence. What could she give to the Lord's cause? My friend, you sit at the Lord's table tomorrow. What can you give to the Lord's cause? That doesn't matter to the Lord. That's not what the Lord is looking for. There's one other thing. How ignorant she was of Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? The Jesus that you are going tomorrow to sit at the Lord's table, or you have touched the hem of his garment and you've been cured. What do you know about him? Do you have a degree in theology? Are you able to discern all the wonderful doctrines of Scripture? My friend, this woman thought she could touch the hem of his garment and he wouldn't even know. That's how ignorant she was. She thought that she could touch his garment and she could just go away and he wouldn't even know anything about it. My friend, she had a lot to learn. Because when he stopped, there was a beginning of a learning curve for this woman. But yet, he accepted her. You might say to yourself today, when you go to the Lord's table, what do I know about the Lord in terms of, you know, this, that, or the other, or these great doctrines? The only thing I know is that when I touched the hem of his garment, I was cured. My friend, that's what, if you're able to say that, then you go to that table and you praise the Lord for it. You might not be able to know everything about supralapsarianism, infralapsarianism. You may not know about pre, post, amil or any of these things, but you know that Jesus has blessed you. That's all this woman knew. That she had touched the hem of his garment and she was cured. And she came trembling before him. That brings us on to the third thing. She tried to hide it. She came trembling, but then she declared before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. For what cause she had touched him. You can imagine her there, can't you? Explaining to Jesus how it was that she came and she had heard all about him and she believed that he was able to do this for her. It's her faith, you see. Jesus says, thy faith. And he's explaining to her, and she's explaining, Lord, thou knowest. I thought that I could go away from here, but Lord, I've discovered you know. It's just like the woman at the well, isn't it? The woman at the well, she was speaking to the Lord Jesus, and eventually she realized that the person she was speaking to knew more about her than she knew about herself. I knew that if I could just come and just touch the hem of your garment, that I could be cured. After 12 years of misery, I could be cured. And Lord, don't take that away from me. Don't take it away. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that perhaps I was bolder than I should be. I know that I'm a woman. I know that I've got nothing to offer you. I know that I'm even ignorant. But Lord, don't take that away from me. Thou hast cured me after these 12 years. Thou hast done more for me than any physician or doctor in this world could ever do for me. You see, Jesus has encouraged her to make this profession of faith. And Jesus isn't doing it so that he can get the acclaim the way he would. For example, Jairus' daughter, you were mentioned already how well known Jairus would be, a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus, if he were blessed, or if his daughter were blessed, think of what that would be. Jesus says to them, don't tell anybody that I've done this. He says that at the end of it. His parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. But this poor woman, who's a nobody, who can't give him anything, who's even ignorant in many respects of, you know, who he is and what he can do, yet he encourages her to make that profession. And you know, the same thing is true, isn't it, when you go forward to the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Do it. Poor sinner, come. Show your love. Show your gratitude. Show to the Lord that you love him for what he has done for you. And you know, when that took place, she was encouraged. She was encouraged. Notice what the Lord says to her. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Her making that profession of faith, what assurance that would give to her as she left there. Had she left and he not done that, she would have left, she would have been cured, but she wouldn't have that assurance that was hers as she left that place. I can imagine her going down the road, leaving the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't like the Gadarene who was going to go and, you know, go back as a missionary of some kind. She would just go back to her house and she would be hearing the words, daughter, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. This malady will not be brought again. Be of good comfort. Thy faith, the faith that you have placed in me, has made you whole. Go in peace. And you can imagine, I can tell her, go in peace. Go in peace. My friend, is that not what the Lord's table is there for? It is a means of grace. A means of encouraging God's people. A means of strengthening your faith. A means of giving you assurance. A means whereby the Lord Jesus, who is present to faith, says to his people, thy faith in me has made you whole. Go in peace. go in comfort. A means of assuring her. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than that. It wasn't just a means of assuring her. It was, my friend, a means of assuring others, particularly Jairus. A means of assuring Jairus. Jairus, at this point in time, I've said this before, how wonderful it is, God's providence, that at the time when the servants of Jairus are coming towards him, and he would have seen them in the distance, but he's not looking that way, is he? He's looking at this woman. And the servants are coming towards him in a distance. If he saw them, he would know exactly why they were coming and how that would have hit. How that would have been like a sword, and wouldn't it? To see these servants coming as he was walking towards them, he knows what they're coming for. But he's not looking that way, is he? He's looking this way. Jesus has taken his eyes away from his servants to this woman. And he deals with this woman. And as he turns round, it says his servants were there. And they said, "Don't trouble the master. Your daughter's already dead." My friend, what a sword. What does Jairus need? Jairus needs the assurance that the Lord alone can give. And he says to Jairus, "Jairus, don't fear. Simply believe. You see what has happened here? This woman has come and declared her faith, and look where her faith has got her. She came and simply touched the hem of my garment, and she was cleansed. Jairus, you simply believe. Your daughter will rise again. But simply believe." My friend, what an encouragement it is. The Lord's table, the preaching of the gospel, the Lord's table, a means of grace to God's people, but my friend, a means of encouragement to others. Are you here this evening and you're like this woman? You may have touched the hem of his garment. You may be there, you think you can go and hide. My friend, be encouraged by the testimony of others who have been there. And go to that table, yes, with all your faults. Yes, with all the shame of what was there in the past. With all your ignorance about the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know about him? The one thing you know is this, that you have touched the hem of his garment, and he has blessed you. That's all you know. And my friend, if that change is in your life, then the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Come trembling. Come trembling into my presence. But be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And as he spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble the master no more. Jairus, only believe. Just believe." You see, our profession at the Lord's table is a means of encouraging one another. And yes, even encouraging others who may be going through difficult times, trying times. But the Lord will bless. Well, may it be that as the Lord, as we go to the Lord, contemplate the Lord's table, may we remember this. The Lord Jesus welcomes sinners, repentant sinners, blessed sinners. He welcomes them, and he will sup with them. And he will say, "Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for the encouragement that thy people have to make that public declaration, as the woman made the declaration to the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou hast done.